If you're obviously listening to this episode because you know that Jesus has called you to make disciples. If you've never done that before, please do not allow that to keep you from doing it. I do think that and one of the concerns I had in writing the book was it's sort of a very well-known principle that you cannot disciple someone unless you've been discipled yourself. And so that was one of the big concerns. You know, couple of the mentors that I have in my own life, that's what I said, I think God's led me to write this book, but how do I, simply by using a book, teach someone to make disciples who then can make disciples? And is that even possible? I think the general consensus was, well, yes, you can, particularly if that person has a real heart to do it, they'll figure it out by using your book. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy to remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the 34th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I am your host, Mike Falkenstein, president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst. And I am so glad that you're with me today for this episode, mainly because I get to do something I don't get to do very often, which is do what we call a resource spotlight episode. And so it's a solo episode where I'm highlighting a new resource. It's actually a new book I've written for the ministry called Now You Can Make Disciples, a step-by-step guide on how to begin making disciples. And so I'm excited to kind of take you through this book, why it's, I think, a good resource, and kind of give you some insider sort of look at the resource itself. I'm really excited. So thank you for joining me. Love doing these resource spotlights, but I'm also excited about some future episodes that we have coming up here with the Catalytic Podcast, which in the following episodes here coming up, I'm going to have some more guests coming up. And so I'm so excited to have some more people coming to talk a little bit about what is really our season 3 theme, being and making disciples. But for this episode, I'm doing a solo episode because it's a resource spotlight episode, which I know for many of you is just so exciting. I'm excited, of course. Again, if you are just new to our podcast, our ministry, the ministry that I direct, 1-8 Catalyst, exists to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst enabling every Christian to reach their world for Christ. And as I've mentioned in previous episodes, we really do have a heart to create resources and deliver training that is helping people grow, helping Christians to grow spiritually, because Christians who are growing spiritually want to reach their world for Christ. And with so many people around the world who are without Jesus Christ, we need more Christians reaching their world for Christ, right? So I am particularly excited about whenever I get to do a resource spotlight episode. And in this episode, I am going to talk about our latest book resource here at 1-8 Catalyst. I've just written a book called Now You Can Make Disciples, a step-by-step guide. And I just cannot tell you how excited I am. I'm excited for a number of reasons. Of course, whenever I finish a new book resource, it's always a cause of joy, at least in part because writing books is hard. I mean, there's a reason why there are not many people who are actually book authors. And I think at least in part of the reason is there are a lot of people who sometimes have a good book idea, but the difference between having a good book idea and actually writing a book are two very different things, and a bridge sometimes not easily crossed. And that is not to toot my own horn. It is rather to say, yeah, whenever I do these book resources, they're not easy. You know, it's a slog. It's hard work to write a book, and particularly, you know, a book on a theological topic. You know, I've often thought, I'm kind of surprised that God has led me in this way, because to think that I would ever have enough knowledge about any topic, you know, to then be able to write about it extensively is really something. And obviously I have a lot of people to thank over the years who've, you know, poured into my life and given me information and the experience that I've had over the years. And so this book that I've just finished is also, I'm also really thankful, because often, you know, with my ministry, I'm often talking about, as I speak in churches and Sunday school classes, and I go to different groups and I speak, I'm often talking about the passages of the Great Commission. And although I generally use three or four passages, depending on the actual how the talk is going, I'm always mentioning Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which is probably the most popular and famous passage of the Great Commission. And, you know, it's this passage, I know it's really familiar to you all, to many of you, where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And it's just really clear as I lay out what is the Great Commission, and I talk about, you know, this command that Jesus gives to all of us to go and make disciples, that clearly people who are hearing me talk about this do not know how to actually make disciples. And kind of the look on their faces is, "Mike, you might as well be asking me to rebuild your transmission." Because I would have as much luck doing that, which, for those of you who do not know about modern transmissions, there are 800 on average pieces to a automatic transmission. And it does take a really complicated, it is a complicated process. So they say, you know, "You might as well be asking me to do that, much less, you know, make disciples. I would not know how to do that if my life depended on it," right? So, and for years now, as I give this talk, it's, you know, it has left me somewhat perplexed, because as Christians, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God and that it's reliable because of its authority. We also know that Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, has full authority in our lives as we've surrendered ourselves to Him. So it would stand to reason that if Jesus, as recorded in the Bible, gave us a direct command to go and make disciples, that we would immediately snap to attention and say, "Yes, sir, I am on that job, sir." And yet, even though I spend a lot of time with people who are active in their churches and who clearly love Jesus, very few of them, dare I say, almost none of them, know how to go through the process of helping another Christian grow in their walk with Jesus in a way that would enable that Christian to reproduce what they've learned into the life of another, which is generally the definition, the loose definition that I would give of what it actually means to make disciples. And so it was clear in our ministry that we needed a resource that we could hand to people, right? So I give the talk, I talk about the command that Jesus gives for all of us to be making disciples. I get the reaction, which, by the way, I forgot to mention. So I get the reaction either that this blank look, or clearly, Mike, those type of commands that Jesus gives to his followers are ones that are meant for people like you in full-time ministry, or my pastor, or the elders at my church, and they're not meant for me. In the book, I won't detail it here, but in the book, I give a very, hopefully, compelling story. I give a compelling case that those commands are given to all of us. Here we go. A brand new book resource where I'm literally taking you step by step on how to do this, so that when you finish this book, you will no longer be in the dark in this area, right? You'll no longer be able to say, "I do not know how to do this." You will actually know how to do it if you read this book. And so what I thought it would do, what I thought I would do in the remaining minutes that I have, is just kind of wet your beak a little, wet your interest, and kind of just go through chapter by chapter very quickly, kind of what this book has inside of it. And because making disciples is such a mystery to so many people that, I really thought it'd be interesting to give you kind of a little, hopefully to pique your interest so that you would go, wow, I need to get this. I need to get a copy for my pastor. I need to get a copy for my people and my community group, Sunday school class, so forth and so on. So I begin the book in chapter one with what I just call the basics of disciple making. And you really can't talk about the basics of disciple making without actually talking about what is really the principal Bible passage of disciple making, which is in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul is writing a letter to the young Timothy, who is now out and about. He started churches. He's pastoring. And Paul says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And so in chapter one, I kind of break that down. What does that look like? I give some definitions of what is a disciple? What is disciple making? What is discipleship? What is the process, the basic process of what that looks like? But I often mention 2 Timothy 2:2 because it really does sort of lay out what disciple making is, right? This idea that Paul has taught Timothy some things. Paul is then saying, entrust those things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you can see there that there are four spiritual generations of people, right? Paul's taught Timothy. Timothy's entrusting that information to other faithful people who then will be able to teach that fourth spiritual generation. And so in disciple making, there is this process of, as you're beginning to teach someone what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, that you're doing that in a way that is reproducible. So I talk about that quite a bit in chapter one as well. Chapter two is called Prepare Yourself to Make Disciples. And so I loved writing this chapter because on one hand, if you're not familiar with my book content, one of the things, if there's been anything that people have said, "Boy, I like this book because of X." Well, that X inevitably is that I have the ability to be able to take complex theological topics and break them down into, easier, topics, easier ways to be able to understand things that are difficult. And so obviously I wanted to be able to do that with this book as well, to really find, okay, what is the lowest common denominator when it comes to making disciples? And how do we break that down to make it just, for the person that's never done this before, wants to give it a go, understands, hey, Jesus has called me to do this. how do we break this down? And so I think on one hand, I've done that, but it's just really clear that especially as I was writing the book, that you cannot give to someone something you don't already have. This idea that you're really wanting someone who you're discipling to be growing in their walk with Jesus. And if you're not growing in your walk with Jesus, it's going to be pretty hard to do, right? I mean, if you're not having a regular quiet time and you're not doing scripture memory and you're not obedient to the Bible and you don't have a supreme love for Jesus and so forth and so on, you're really not going to be able to pass that on. So really chapter two is, here's kind of the stuff that you need. And if you're not at that level in your walk with Jesus, well, here's how you get there. I mean, that's the thing that always somewhat surprises me in our churches. And a lot of times it's, "Oh, I don't know how to do that," or I'm not at that level. And my response is, well, get there. You can do it. It's easy. I mean, you've got a Bible, right? Just begin reading it and studying it and growing. And it's not that hard. Listen, if I've gotten to that point and I've learned it, certainly if a schlub like me can do it, you certainly can do it. So I kind of walk you through that in chapter two. Chapter three is called Intentionality in Disciple Making. And this was a really interesting chapter to write. And of those who have already read the book, including the proofreaders I've had and the other folks I've had reading the book, this has been one that people have consistently said, that was really helpful. And I think it's helpful because So you've prepared yourself to make disciples. You're ready to begin to pick some people to begin to disciple. And so in this chapter, really what I'm talking about here simply is, not only do you want to have a process that is super intentional, meaning, you know, we take the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle that I've already mentioned. So when you're discipling someone, you're not only entrusting that to faithful people, but you're also wanting to teach them how to teach others. And that takes some intention, right? That we're gonna be meeting with people and talking to people in ways that it's like, I'm not just meeting with you. I want to meet with you so that you can be doing this with others, and then they can be doing that with others. And so there's some intentionality in disciple making there, but then there's also some intentionality in, as you begin to be praying about and finding people to disciple, make, and as you begin to meet with them, to ask them, and I actually give you kind of the step-by-step, here's how you actually ask someone to begin doing that in a begin meeting together in a disciple-making relationship. But then you really, as you begin meeting with people, ask them to pray about entering into this kind of a relationship with you. Obviously, you want to make it as clear as you can, your intentions to them, so that they know clearly, here's what this is about, here's why we're going to be meeting, here's what we're going to be doing, here's why we're doing this, so forth and so on. And I mention a quote from a lady, I think her name is Brené Brown, and her famous thing is, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. And so we really want to be as absolutely clear as we can as we begin, you know, meeting with people, so that it's not later, it's like, hey, wait, you know, the people you're meeting with, you don't want them later to go, hey, wait, you never asked me to do this. Now I've got weekly homework I'm doing and Bible study, and I'm doing these scripture memory verses. And, you know, you want that to be as clear. No, I already told you about this. You were very, very clear. You want to be super clear. So then, of course, the next chapter is finding faithful people. And this is really, really important. This stage, this chapter is really, really important, because you want to find people who are faithful to begin to disciple. And it's interesting, because many times we see someone in our church and we think, oh, that person would be really good to begin meeting with in a discipleship relationship. But what I'm doing in this chapter is really helping you sort of discern, okay, you think that is a person that you'd want to begin meeting with, but here's how you actually tell, because you do want someone who, there's an acronym that we use a lot in disciple making, faithful, available, teachable. We call a FAT person. So that doesn't mean physically a fat person, but person who is faithful, available, teachable. And so I will help you find out how to discern whether someone is faithful, available, and teachable. And you might have someone that is two of those three things, but not the third. And you probably don't want to meet with them. And it really, then in the chapter I mentioned, it's okay. They're faithful, they're available, but they're not very teachable. You probably just want to put them on a back burner, keep a relationship going, and just wait. Maybe God will give them the teachable part at some point, and you can re-enter a disciple-making relationship. Chapter 5 then is fruitful disciple-making meetings. And so I think this is the scariest or the hardest part for people who say, yeah, I'd love to begin discipling someone, but what does that weekly meeting actually look like? Well, here you go. I'm actually giving you step-by-step. Here's what this looks like. Here's how you do this as you run across obstacles in, you know, making disciples. Here's how you handle those obstacles. And so chapter 5 is kind of connected to, in the book, I have a resources section, which I often do in my books. You know, again, being the director of a ministry who is creating resources and delivering training, I just want to kind of give you everything that I can that might be helpful for you in the particular topic of the book, right? So, and in the resources section, I actually give you 24 weekly topics that you can use to begin meeting with someone. So you don't have to guess. Okay, so as I meet weekly with this person, what am I going to do? Initially, what you're going to do is you're going to go through these 24 topics. So it's everything from assurance of salvation to scripture memory to having a quiet time to prayer to, you know, all of those things. And so I'm laying out here the scripture verses for you. Here's the what you can talk about. Here's the questions you can ask them. Here's the desired sort of application of what you're hoping that they learn. So literally, as you're preparing for meeting with someone in a disciple-making relationship, I'm literally giving you not only the step-by-step, here's what this week will look, these weekly meetings will look like, but here's even the topics that you can discuss. Chapter 6 is obstacles that you'll face in disciple making and what to do about them. The obstacles are many. The obstacles are not always what you think they're going to be, because there's not only the, yeah, I'm busy, I can't meet, you know, those kinds of obstacles, but there's also I'm busy at work, you know, and I even mentioned sort of the spiritual obstacles, right? That, you know, the enemy who comes only to kill, steal, and destroy certainly does not want you to be meeting in a weekly meeting, helping someone grow spiritually. And so I mentioned that and kind of what to be looking for in terms of, you know, spiritual obstacles as well. And then finally, chapter 7, what I call the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle, giving the ministry away. And so you're meeting, let's say, for a year and a half with a person. They're growing spiritually because you have been clear and your intentions have been clear that, so Joe, you and I have been meeting together. I've not only wanted you to be growing spiritually, but I want to be teaching you how to be investing in a third spiritual generation. I kind of, in this chapter 7, the last chapter, I sort of mention what that looks like, you know, kind of intentionally begin pulling away. Well, initially it's how do you help them find other people that then they're discipling? And then sort of at the same time, you're sort of looking at, you know, how do you sort of intentionally disengage and you're meeting less? Eventually, you're just kind of meeting maybe once a quarter only to help them to be able to disciple others. And so that's a whole process as well. So it kind of brings it full circle, right? So you've learned how to disciple someone, you begin discipling, and then you're actually helping them do the same thing that you learned at the beginning as well. So here's what I would say as I end this episode. I would say a few things. First, thanks for listening to this episode. If you're obviously listening to this episode because you know that Jesus has called you to make disciples. If you've never done that before, please do not allow that to keep you from doing it. I do think that although, and one of the concerns I had in writing the book was it's sort of a very well-known principle that you cannot disciple someone unless you've been discipled yourself. And so that was one of the big concerns. You know, couple of the mentors that I have in my own life, that's what I said. I think God's led me to write this book, but how do I, simply by using a book, teach someone to make disciples who then can make disciples? And is that even possible? I think the general consensus was, well, yes, you can, particularly if that person has a real heart to do it, they'll figure it out by using your book. And then the more experience that they have doing it, they'll be able to do it better and better. So I guess I say that to say, if you've got a heart for this, but you're kind of nervous about it, this is why I've written this book. And so literally step by step, resources section, the whole business, I've given you kind of the full thing. And actually, I've got my copy right here. We're right at about 190 pages. So this is not some 350 page or 400 page volume, you know, that you have to sort of slog through. It's a very easy read. I mean, it's, you know, in fact, the resources section takes up not quite half of the book, but let me look here. So disciple making resources begins on page. So that's the first only page. The first 118 pages is the actual seven chapters, and then out of 190 pages, you have then 70 pages, just call it, of just resources. And that is only for you to go through as you need to go through it. So literally you're reading a 118 page book, and which will help you to be obedient to the command that Jesus has given you to go and make disciples. So that was the heart. And so I would say, yeah, definitely, if you've never done this before, please allow me to teach you how to do it through the book. Also, in the beginning parts of the book, I have contact information, my contact information. If you go through it and you go, man, I'm just getting stuck on such and such, you do not know how much I would love to help you. We could have a phone call. Literally, I would love to help you with that. Again, because I've got such a heart to help you to be able to start to make disciples that make disciples. And then finally, I would just say, as I end the episode, to pastors who are listening, please, you know, a lot of times, one of the struggles that I have with pastors, I'll just be honest, is that a lot of times pastors and elders of churches a lot of times have this perception that because they're the leaders, you know, they must be the ones who know it all. They cannot learn anything from anyone else because they're the ones who are already supposed to know it. And I would just say, if you're a pastor in particular and you read Matthew 28 and you know you're supposed to make disciples, but you do not know how, don't worry. Just allow me to help you with that, and then you'll know how. And, you know, I've often said, every pastor in every church should have three or four guys that they're always sort of investing in, and they're, you know, going deep in, and they're discipling. And just put aside the fact that maybe there are some times that, well, set aside the fact that, you know, you're sort of, you have this complex that you think you should know it already, and just say, hey, just like I don't know how to fix and repair an automatic transmission, I would have to do a lot of study on how to do that. You know, making disciples is the same thing. Let me teach you how to do this, and then you'll know how, and then you'll start a disciple-making ministry within your church. As a side note to that, there is a separate resource that I'll mention to pastors. We have a series of books at 1-8 Catalyst called the Six Marks book series, and two of the five books that we'll have in that series are now completed. One of those is a book on the six marks of a church that makes disciples, which makes a great study for you to go through with your elder team. So it would be the Six Marks books together with my new book resource. And man, you could really have an impactful ministry, not only in your church, but in kind of the broader community. So the book is available on Amazon. So just go to amazon.com, look up Now You Can Make Disciples. In the show notes, of course, I'll have the link to the book. And I'm really hopeful that it would be used by many to go from, gosh, I don't know how to make disciples, to, yeah, I've got a pretty vibrant disciple-making ministry. So hope that's a help. Please pick up the book. Contact me as you have questions. And always know that we're so thankful here at 1-8 Catalyst for those of you that are listening to the podcast. I'm so thankful to have you with us. Please, again, go to our website, 1-8catalyst.org, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, or to learn about our ministry. If you want to make a comment about the podcast itself, or if you have a show idea, you can go to our suggestion line at 303-335-9658. That's 303-335-9658. And we'd love to hear from you, text, voicemail, however that works best for you. Appreciate you all. Man, I'm so thankful for you guys, and look forward to having you with us on the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 1-8catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.